Chapter 204. Remarks at General Conference. Mrs. E.G. White. I have been given light all along the way in regard to the workings of the cause, and last night some things in regard to the medical missionary work were brought more especially before me. When health reform was first brought to our notice, about 35 years ago, the light presented to me was contained in this scripture: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." In the light given me so long ago, I was shown that our own people, those who claim to believe the present truth, should do this work. How were they to do it? In accordance with the directions Christ gave his 12 disciples when he called them together and sent them forth to preach the gospel. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." In the light given me so long ago, I was shown that intemperance would prevail in the world to an alarming extent, and that every one of the people of God must take an elevated stand in regard to reformation in habits and practices. At that time, I was eating meat two or three times a day, and I was fainting away two or three times a day. The Lord presented a general plan before me. I was shown that God would give to his commandment-keeping people a reform diet, and that as they received this, their disease and suffering would be greatly lessened. I was shown that this work would progress. Then, in after years, the light was given that we should have a sanitarium, a health institution, which was to be established right among us. This was the means God was to use in bringing his people to a right understanding in regard to health reform. It was also to be the means by which we were to gain access to those not of our faith. We were to have an institution where the sick could be relieved of suffering, and that without drug medication. God declared that he himself would go before his people in this work. Well, the work has been steadily increasing. The way was opened for our churches to take hold of it. I proclaimed health reform everywhere I went. At our camp meetings, I spoke on Sunday afternoons, and I proclaimed the message of temperance in eating, drinking, and dressing. This was the message I bore for years before I left for Australia. But there were those who did not come up to the light God had given. There were those in attendance at our camp meetings who ate and drank improperly. Their diet was not in harmony with the light God had given, and it was impossible for them to appreciate the truth in its sacred, holy bearing. So the light has been gradually coming in. Over and over again, instruction was given that our health institutions were to reach all classes of people. The gospel of Jesus Christ includes the work of helping the sick. When I heard that Dr. Kellogg had taken up the medical missionary work, I encouraged him with heart and soul, because I knew that only by this work can the prejudice which exists in the world against our faith be broken down. In Australia, we have tried to do all we could in this line. We located in Corranbong, and there, where the people have to send 25 miles for a doctor and pay him $25 a visit, we helped the sick and suffering all we could. Seeing that we understood something of disease, the people brought their sick to us and we cared for them. Thus we entirely broke down the prejudice in that place. Here is Battle Creek, with a large church, the members of which are called upon in the name of the Lord to go out into the field and help their fellow beings, to bring joy to those in sorrow, to heal the sick, to show men and women that they are destroying themselves. Medical missionary work is the pioneer work. It is to be connected with the gospel ministry. It is the gospel in practice, the gospel practically carried out. I have been made so sorry to see that our people have not taken hold of this work as they should. They have not gone out into the places round about to see what they could do to help the suffering. Dr. Kellogg has been carrying too heavy a load, and our own people have been standing by, warring against him. His work has been made heavier and harder because of the lack of sympathy shown by those who ought to have seen the importance of the work he is doing. Cautions were given Dr. Kellogg, showing him that his work was to reach the higher classes by maintaining the very highest standard in the sanitarium. This is the only way in which the higher classes can be reached, and I felt that our people ought to feel highly honored because God had placed among us an instrumentality that could reach the higher classes. I saw that these would come to the sanitarium and would receive help from the treatment. They would see and be charmed by the spirit pervading the institution. They would feel full of peace and rest as prayer was offered at their bedside. This is the work which is to interest the world, which is to break down prejudice and force itself upon the attention of the world. I encouraged Dr. Kellogg all I could and cautioned him when I saw that he was bearing too heavy a load, for what would the work do were he to drop out? As he labored with all his skill in the most difficult cases in the institution, the responsibility upon him was heavy enough. He did not need any of your discouragement. The responsibility of the lives in his hands was enough. As he prayed about his work and then took up the most difficult cases, where if the knife had slipped one hair's breadth, it would have cost a life, God stood by his side, and an angel's hand was upon his hand, guiding it through the operation. All human beings are of value in the sight of God because they were purchased by the blood of his only begotten Son. He wants everyone to stand in close connection with him. The medical missionary work is doing this, and it should have the support of every one of you. When the sanitarium hospital was to be built, there was so much opposition to this move that in duty bound, I had to stand before the people and say, "From the light that has been given me, this building should be erected." Soon after the building was finished, I came to Battle Creek and Dr. Kellogg said, "You shall be the first to occupy it." He gave us rooms there and we thought we should occupy them for the winter. But the sick came till room after room was occupied. I saw the situation and I said, "I cannot stay here any longer, for those who wish to be relieved of their suffering are crowding in and the rooms I have will be needed." The doctor begged me to stay, but I told him that I could not. I hired a house, and it was not long before the hospital was full of patients. Thus the work has moved on. And I have seen that all heaven is interested in the work of relieving suffering humanity. Satan is exerting all his power to obtain control over the souls and bodies of men. He is trying to bind them to the wheels of his chariot. My heart is made sad as I look at our churches, which ought to be connected in heart and soul and practice with the medical missionary work. In Australia, we have been wrestling to get a sanitarium established, and a building is now in process of erection, though not yet completed. The sanitarium work has started in a private dwelling house, and the one in charge of it devoted part of his time to conference work and part of his time to medical work. He was afraid that it would not be possible to pay the rent of the house which had been hired, so in order to help, I rented one room and Brother Baker rented two. but these rooms were soon needed for patients, and the work has grown so that at the present time several houses are rented for the sanitarium patients and nurses. Through this work, many souls have accepted the truth. A minister from Tasmania, a wealthy and educated man, came to the sanitarium for treatment, and while there became interested in the truth. He soon began keeping the Sabbath, and he at once began to help the work with his means. Whole families have commenced keeping the Sabbath through some of the members coming to the sanitarium for treatment. But I need not say more about this, for you know it. You are not ignorant of it. I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines, but medical missionary work. The work of a minister is to minister. Our ministers are to work on the gospel plan of ministering. It has been presented to me that all through America there are barren fields. As I traveled through the South on my way to the conference, I saw city after city that was unworked. What is the matter? The ministers are hovering over churches which know the truth while thousands are perishing out of Christ. If the proper instruction were given, if the proper methods were followed, every church member would do his work as a member of the body. He would do Christian missionary work. But the churches are dying, and they want a minister to preach to them. They should be taught to bring a faithful tithe to God, that he may strengthen and bless them. They should be brought into working order, that the breath of God may come to them. They should be taught that unless they can stand alone without a minister, they need to be converted anew and baptized anew. They need to be born again. The barren fields in America have been presented to me. In every city in Michigan, there should be a monument erected for God. You have been long in the truth. Had you carried the work forward in the lines in which God intended you to, had you done medical missionary work trying to heal soul and body, you would have seen hundreds and thousands coming into the truth. But this will not be seen while you crowd into Battle Creek, leaving unworked the places which should have the truth. The Lord has said to his people, "Get out of Battle Creek. Work for souls ready to perish," and they should get out of Battle Creek. Go to places where the people have not heard the truth, and live before them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do among them practical missionary work. Thus many souls will be brought to a knowledge of the truth. You will never be ministers after the gospel order till you show a decided interest in medical missionary work, the gospel of healing and blessing and strengthening. Come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty powers of darkness, that it be not said of you, "Curse ye Meroz, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof," because they came not to the help of the Lord. I was troubled before leaving California. I did not want to come to Battle Creek. I was afraid the burdens I would have to bear would cost my life. I knew that every church in Michigan needs the sanctification of the Spirit of God. I knew that the ministers laboring with those who know the truth, tending them like sick sheep, should be out in the field planting the standard of truth in new places, bringing the sick to their houses and clothing the naked. Christ says that his righteousness will go before those who do this work, and that the glory of God will be their rear reward. But this work is not done by our churches, and the ministers are preaching to those who know the truth when there are thousands who know nothing of the third angel's message. I said that I could not go to Battle Creek. The weather was too severe for me to make the journey. The conference was appointed to be held in Oakland. But night after night I was speaking to a congregation like the one now before me. Then I would wake up and pray, saying, "Lord, what does this mean?" I thought that I could not go to Battle Creek, but when I found that my mind was there, and that in the night season I was working there, I said, "I think I will have to go to Battle Creek, notwithstanding the fact that the conference has been appointed to be held in Oakland." Then came the difficulty of where I would stay while in Battle Creek. No matter with whom I would stay, it would be said, "Someone has been talking with Sister White, telling her about the state of the church. This is why she talks as she does. Dr. Kellogg has kindly invited me to make his house my home, but I had decided that I could not do this. One Friday night at our season of prayer, while I was asking the Lord to guide me and show me what to do, the Spirit of God came in, and a holy, solemn awe fell upon us. A voice said to me, "Respect the courtesy of Dr. Kellogg. I have appointed him as my physician, and I will be his helper if he will trust wholly in me. You can encourage him." With the voice there came a fragrance as of beautiful flowers, and though none of the family saw what I saw or heard what I heard, yet they felt the influence of the Spirit and were weeping and praising God. Then, of course, I accepted Dr. Kellogg's invitation. It is because of the direction of the Lord that I am staying there. There I can find retirement. I thank the Lord that I am there. It is because of the directions I have received from the Lord that I have the courage to stand among you and speak as I do, notwithstanding the way in which you may look at the medical missionary work. I wish to say that the medical missionary work is God's work. The Lord wants every one of his ministers to come into line. Take hold of the medical missionary work, and it will give you access to the people. Their hearts will be touched as you minister to their necessities. As you relieve their sufferings, you will find opportunity to speak to them of the love of Jesus. I'm ready to say to you today that I am in harmony with the resolution. Many who have been more or less out of line since the Minneapolis meeting will be brought into line. God will help those who love the truth, who give themselves heart and mind and strength to Him. God will work mightily with His ministers when their hearts are filled with love for the poor lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hunt up the backsliders, those who once knew what religion was, and give them the message of mercy. The story of Christ's love will touch a chord in their hearts. Christ draws human beings to himself with the cord which God has let down from heaven to save the race. The love of Christ can be measured only when this cord is measured. God wants every soul to be imbued with the Holy Spirit. He wants those who have felt it their duty to circulate disparaging reports about Dr. Kellogg and the medical missionary work to be converted. Take hold of the gospel ministry as it really is. I am fully in favor of this resolution because I know that medical missionary work is the gospel in practice and, as the Lord has declared, is never, never to be separated from the gospel ministry. If the workers in California and Michigan, the two great centers of our work, would become converted and stand before the Lord as little children, the salvation of God would be revealed. What we need is to seek earnestly for kindness and humility. Our hearts need to be cleansed from all that has led to separation, to the speaking of words which would not have been spoken if men had sincerely tried to see what the medical missionary work is really doing. Medical missionary work, ministering to the sick and suffering, cannot be separated from the gospel. God help those whose attention has been aroused on this subject to have the mind of Christ and the sympathy of Christ. God help you to remember that Christ was a worker, that he went from place to place healing the sick. If we were as closely connected with Christ as were his disciples, God could work through us to heal many who are suffering. The Lord bless his people and enable them to come to a right understanding of his will.